Hi, love. Today's hidden healing gem is going to be a bit of a shocker. It's pharmaceutical prescription anti-anxiety medication. Now, the reason I'm saying it's a shocker is because anytime a client is considering getting prescribed a medication, they always think I'm going to be disappointed in them because I'm so homeopathic, all about the energy and the law of attraction and the body, mind, health and all the natural stuff, right? But believe it or not, I believe very strongly that prescription medication has a time and place. And did you know that women are prescribed anti-anxiety medication twice as often as men? What's that about? And how can we as women shift that narrative? Hi, love. Welcome to Dear Divorce Diary, the podcast helping divorcees go beyond talk therapy to process your grief, find the healing you crave, and build back your confidence. I'm your host, Dawn Wiggins, a therapist, coach, integrative healer, and divorcee. Join me for a fresh approach to healing grief and building your confidence after divorce. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the ways that a prescription medication for anxiety can be a game changer in your healing. We're also going to talk about the ways that it could inhibit or interrupt your healing. We're going to dig into how you can specifically know for yourself when a prescription anti-anxiety medication would be called for, and some of the difficulties that you might run into in obtaining a prescription, and some natural remedies, of course, that you could use instead if you are particularly not wanting to go the pharmaceutical route or just it doesn't feel available to you. Let's dig in. So there are a number of times that I see my clients really needing and or benefiting from an anti-anxiety medication. And it's typically when you have old trauma on top of new trauma and you are so activated, your nervous system is so kind of stuck or rutted out in fight, flight, freeze that you can't quite shift out of it, even though you're trying so hard and using all the tools and doing all of the things. Now, when we're talking about treating trauma, whether it is old or new, we talk about the importance of something called the window of tolerance. What is that, Dawn? Well, the window of tolerance is where we're kind of in the sweet spot of healing. It's uncomfortable, but it's not so uncomfortable that you literally can't stand it and can't function. But you're not so numbed out that you're like not even able to access the uncomfortable feelings. Have you ever told someone a story about something very painful you experienced and you didn't actually feel the feelings associated with it? You were like just telling a story as though you were telling a story about somebody else's life. So that would be below the window of tolerance. Like it's not even activated enough for us to be able to get in there and do good work with it. Above the window of tolerance is so jacked, right? So fight, flight, freeze that you can't function and that your brain can't cool off. It's just hot to the touch and it's very, very uncomfortable to even exist in your body mind. So window of tolerance is something where it's just the right, like the Goldilocks amount of discomfort where we can do good work with it and we can move it through so that it can move to resolution. So if you are so hot in the brain that you can't get into the appropriate window of tolerance, that's when we know that an anti-anxiety medication might be right for you. Now, I've seen clients do really great work in EMDR therapy or with EFT tapping or with trying to set up good habits and patterns for themselves, but they just can't stick with it or they're just not able to process an EMDR. So that's when we know, maybe we should check out a prescription medication. Now, something interesting about using an anti-anxiety medication is that very, very often people get prescribed either an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety med, and they're told that they need to use it daily, all the time, in order to stay well. And that is a mindset that is really damaging to the human body mind. Those types of prescriptions were never meant to be the solution. They were meant to be the bridge while you work on the root cause or the underlying solution. There are a handful of rare circumstances where somebody might need to be on an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety for their entire life, but that would be so, so rare love, I promise you, you're probably not it. I can't guarantee you that, right? But it would be such a rare circumstance. Now, it may take years to do the work. And P.S., if you're not interested in ever coming off of medication, that's okay. No judgment for me, right? But many people have a goal of wanting to get off of medication eventually. And that's a beautiful goal. And it can take a lot of work, right? It can take everything from the subconscious work, needing to shift the internalized negative beliefs you have, to doing the trauma processing work, to healing your diet and making sure you get good exercise and making sure that you have the foundational things you need for sleep. In order to do all of that, oftentimes we need some detoxes, because a lot of times insomnia is not just linked to a felt sense of safety, but it's also linked to inflammation and toxins in the brain. So, you know, there are a lot of layers that we have to look at to ultimately being able to work someone off their medication. But we do want to acknowledge that if you have been on high levels of medication for a very long time, that it can inhibit your healing. Because again, window of tolerance, what is an anti-anxiety medication? It is a nervous system depressant. So if we've been artificially depressing your nervous system for a period of time, you may not be activated enough in your window of tolerance for us to do good work. And remember, when we were talking about the nervous system in general, an activated nervous system that's in fight or flight, that alarm is going off in the body mind. And what an anti-anxiety medication does is it quiets the alarm, but without actually resolving the thing that's caused the alarm to trip, right? It's just quieting the alarm. It's not actually solving the problem. So when we're interrupting your body's ability to communicate to you that something's wrong, it's really, really important that we get busy at the root cause issue, because otherwise you're still in an active disease process and you're not actively reversing that disease, which means you're getting worse over time, but you're not getting the messages from your body mind that you're getting worse over time. And so then all of a sudden you hit a wall down the road. So there are definitely times that these types of medications are called for. There are definitely times that if used too much or too long, that it can hurt you very, very badly. Now, how to know when it's needed? Well, I want you to kind of walk yourself through a checklist, right? Have you been really doing the work to change the negative beliefs, to process the traumas? Have you been getting some exercise, looking at your diet, prioritizing rest? But no matter what, you're still struggling with things like panic attacks or panic in general. And while you've been using tools, you still can't interrupt intrusive thoughts or having really, really intense thoughts or feelings about death or suicide or illness or germs, right? Just things that feel so insurmountable, even though you've been using a lot of tools, that's a really good clue that you might need an anti-anxiety medication. Now, there are many different types of what are called anxiolytics. There are some that are highly addictive, and when you go to come off of them, can lead to seizures. Those are typically in the benzodiazepine class. And then there are others that are a little more benign that you can kind of use on an as-needed basis that are non-addictive or non-habit-forming. So there are a lot of different choices when you're thinking of anti-anxiety meds, but something really interesting about the benzodiazepine class and anti-anxiety meds in general is what they do is they increase a chemical in your brain called GABA. Now, GABA is a naturally occurring chemical in your brain. And so we can get GABA as a supplement at the health food store. So really, really interesting that if we want to upregulate GABA in the brain, it doesn't have to come from a pharmaceutical. It can come through a supplement at the store. Now, the problem with that is sometimes our guts are so messed up that we're not able to absorb supplements very well. And so that's where sometimes we have to get a sense of, do we need to do some intermittent fasting to help clean up the gut? Do we need to add some minerals, right, through cell salts or through some other mineral absorption places so that we can upregulate our ability to absorb in general? This starts to feel really complicated, right? Like, Dawn, I just am so anxious. How can I manage all these things you're talking about? And that's the thing, right, love? If you are struggling to function in life, even though you are kind of aware of some of these things I'm talking about, good shot that you might need an anti-anxiety med. And so if you feel like this might be you, but it feels really overwhelming because a medication like this does require a prescription from either a general practitioner or a psychiatrist, preferably. I don't know what your experience is, but being in the mental health field, I know a lot of psychiatrists are booked out for months. And when you are kind of debilitated by anxiety, waiting for months for a psychiatric appointment can be really, really brutal. And then, such is the case again with a lot of healthcare and especially in mental health care, providers that don't take insurance that are very, very expensive tend to be higher caliber providers. I'm kind of painting with a broad brush there, but the one that you're going to be able to get into quickest might not be the most skilled. And so again, that's, I can't know that for sure about every provider, but that's a tendency. It's a trend, right? And so you have potential wait lists. Then you have the shame around having to go to maybe your local doctor or your local, you know, urgent care or whoever and say like, I'm a mess. I'm anxious. I can't handle my life. I feel weak, right? And there's so much shame and embarrassment about that. And then I think with medication in general, I know I certainly felt during the post-divorce seasons of my life, I knew very well that a benzodiazepine like Klonopin or Xanax was very, very effective for me. And I knew how addictive it was. I used it pretty consistently for a while during cluster headaches while post-divorce. It was one of the things that helped get me through, and it's something that I used in little bits this last holiday season. And so it has its time and place, right? But I knew that asking a doctor for a benzodiazepine, which can be highly addictive, I felt shame about that because would they think that I was med-seeking? Would they automatically judge me as being an addict or being curious? And as a mental health provider, there was a lot of shame for me about that, right? Like, Dawn, you're supposed to have your shit together. You are a therapist. And I think that having your shit together is being able to acknowledge when you need a particular type of help. The getting your, like, the embarrassing part isn't in the needing of it. It's the not getting it when you need it. That's the thing that I want to be more of a red flag, right? Is you need something, but you're refusing to ask for the help. So, you know, waitlists, the embarrassment, you know, if you don't have insurance, that's a huge difficulty in obtaining a prescription. And, you know, insurance is this whole tricky thing in this country right now. So I understand all of that. So if getting a prescription and getting to a doctor and all of that just doesn't feel like it's in the cards for you right now, a handful of things that I want you to consider are high quality magnesium supplements. There's a new one I'm going to try soon. And when I do, it's topical magnesium. I'm going to review it. We'll have a Hidden Healing Gems on magnesium because absorption, right? Cell salts. I will link these things in the show notes. Okay. Cell salts can be hugely soothing and help with your absorption and have magnesium in them. GABA can be very, very soothing if you're really struggling with anxiety. I'll link a high quality GABA supplement in the show notes. And then there are a couple of homeopathic remedies that you can use daily for a period of time that are really, really great for anxiety. One of them is gelsemium, which is particularly good for anticipation anxiety. Ignatia is one that's really, really good when you're grieving and you're feeling anxious, and it's just a really good nervous system remedy in general. And then there is one for panic that's really, really great, and that's aconitum. And aconitum is never well since experiencing something really, really shocking. So if you feel like you've experienced some really difficult shocks in your life, but specifically in this divorce season, aconitum might be a great one for you too. So these are really great, affordable. Typically a tube of a homeopathic remedy is between $8 and $11. And that's so, so affordable. Cell salts, very, very affordable. Again, usually around $12, $13 for a month's supply of cell salts. So I just love the affordability and accessibility. You can get all these things on Amazon. If you have a local health food store, you can usually pick up GABA and cell salts and homeopathy in your local health food store. So this is just, I want to validate the use of pharmaceutical meds from time to time. They're a beautiful bridge when we need to get from a very difficult place while we give all the natural remedies time to do their work at a deeper level. And I want to remove some of that stigma around pharmaceuticals. They're very valuable. I have used them, and I encourage my clients to use them in very certain specific instances. I think you'll have a sense of that listening to this today. If that's you, if you've had a long history of trauma, in addition to this present day trauma on top of it, you're probably a good candidate. And so this podcast is not to be construed as therapy or as medical advice. It most certainly is not. It's just some things to think about and a little bit of education and a little bit of shame reduction, hopefully, as you're figuring out what works best for you in this season of your life. I love you so much. Peace. Dear Divorce Diary is a podcast by My Coach Dawn. You can find more at mycoachdawn.com.